The playoffs are just around the corner, and it is time to oil up. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Edmonton's upcoming playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup this spring and shop the exclusive Oil Up playoff merch and more at nationgear.ca.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 236. Bag Milk, Tyler, Rick, and Liam sitting in. Lots to discuss. Plenty to go over. Oilers just wrapped up their first road trip of the season. Perfect 3-0 record. You gotta like that. Gotta love that, in fact. But first, we gotta start off with a shout out to our friends at Oodle Noodle. New location opening in Calgary. Tyler and I saw it over the weekend.
Looks good.
Looks good. Looks sharp.
Mm-hmm.
The Clairview location is now reopened. And then the new West End location is open as well. As we do every week on the podcast, what is the Oodle Noodle delicious debate?
It is centered around your boy. His jersey is hanging up in our studio. The Nuge.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Is he ever bagged milk? He is off to a flying start. 5 goals, 6 assists, 11 points in 9 games played. Today's Oodle Noodle delicious debate. What will the Nuge finish the year with? What will be the final stat line for Ryan Nugent Hopkins?
So, do you got his stats up in front of you? Because I'm just going off the dome here. I believe his career high is 25 goals. Is that right? And then 69 points.
It's 69 points. That's all that really matters.
Yeah. Nice. Of course. But I think also he's kind of putting the pill in the net right now. So,
and the thing I wrote about at the site is that he's not scoring on all of his chances. It's not like just, it's not like a heater where everything goes in.
No.
He could have scored 3 against Calgary. He got robbed, hit a post.
Yeah, I was going to say, we had that perfect angle where he hit the bar. It was,
yeah, we like, thought it went in.
Markstrom did not have a line on that shot at all.
No.
So what am I going to say? I'm going to say, I don't know that he's going to go high, too much higher than his career high in goals.
Mm-hmm.
25. But what I will say is he's going to hit 75 points. He's red hot right now. It's bound to cool off a little bit. It's kind of even out somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say 75 points for my boy. Liam?
I was going to go with that exactly the same. So I will go with 76.
Oh, you're doing the prices right on me?
This is the price is right.
Rick?
He's just going to play with the two big guns all season. It feels like he's not going to be on his
own. He's a winger now.
Yeah, he's a winger. And he's producing.
If he's consistently putting up points right now, it's not like a hot streak and then a cold streak. I think he will finish above his career high at 69. You've got 75, you've got 76. So I'm just going to come in at a nice round 72.
So we got 75 for me, 76 for Liam, 72 for Rick, Tyler Yamchuk.
So you said how many goals though?
25.
So you're saying 25 and 45 to get to 70 points?
75 points.
Ah, so 25 and 50.
50.
All right, Liam, you're going with what?
I want to write 76.
So you're going 25 and 51 or 26 and 50?
What was the first option?
25 and 51.
And then what was the other one?
26 and 50.
There's technically any option that just adds up to 75.
I think you'll get 27 goals.
Oh, now you're making me really do math.
So, all right, let's work through it.
I think that's 48.
No, what did I say? 76.
Yeah.
So therefore, 40, if he has 27.
49.
So yeah, he would have to be a 9 in there. 49 assists.
Carry
so,
like the
how
one.
Much talking are you doing there as you're letting the math try and roll in your head at the same time and just keep throwing out words right now as I'm trying to do the math in my head and I'm not really getting. That was nice.
Well, the thing is, too,
you
like
talk on a podcast. I kind of just sit here and think in silence.
Podcast.
The thing I think about Nuge, though, is like, if his 5-on-5 scoring comes back, which it kind of looks like it is a little bit, maybe 25 is light for him, especially if he's playing with Connor. Like, that line is hot trouble right now. Nuge McDavid and Hyman, come on. Yeah. Like, they're a real problem for other teams. Leon and Connor are not playing together at all. So, like Rick said, if he's playing with one of those two, maybe he sails by it.
What is it we said on the thing? A minute 49 is 5-on-5.
Like, that's what I saw a couple of
It was under 2 minutes. David and Draisaitl in 5-on-5. Yeah, it's just under 2 minutes, which is kind of nutty. So, yeah, Nuge is going to have to be big. So,
what was your answer, Rick?
27:45.
Mm-hmm. Rick said 27:45. And I am going to say 27:50. I think the Nuge is going to get to 77 points this year. Damn. He's going to be a winger in the top six, and his spot on one of the best power plays in the league is cemented. The number I dug up yesterday in my article on OilersNation.com, which was titled Trick or Treat, very spooky, was he's generating, at the time of writing this article, 12.76 individual scoring chances per 60 at 5-on-5. That not only leads the Oilers, that puts him 14th in the entire NHL amongst players with at least 100 minutes. He's producing chances at a clip that few others around the entire league are producing. So I think there's a chance he keeps this up, and there'll be a cold streak. Right now, he's on pace for 45 goals and 55 assists.
Hell yeah.
How do you define that he's the one producing the opportunity?
Like, he shoots the puck, or he just misses the net in front of the net, or hits the puck.
So it's just his shots that are...
Yeah, his shots and his chances. His individual scoring chances.
Yeah, I feel you.
So he's on pace for 90 points?
He's on pace for 100 points.
Well, that's not bad.
That'd be a nice little season. Okay, look, we gave our predictions.
Win the Price is Right.
I would.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. No prizes for you, though.
Mm-mm.
What do you guys think he's doing well, though? Like, it's one thing to say he's at a hot start, pucks are going in, but like, what is he doing well?
He's shooting the puck more, in my opinion. I think that's like, I just outlined the individual scoring chances stat that I dug out there. But like, I mean, we're betters. We know that his shot prop's been hitting a lot recently.
Shout out to
and I think he's just, he's way more comfortable and way more effective as a complimentary winger than he is as a third line center.
It's because of the third line doing so well that he doesn't have to go down there and help them out at all. That it's allowing him to play on the second line and be more offensive than have to worry about his defense side of game to try and help the third line go. So it's that fact that those guys are playing so well in the third line, it's allowing him to just play up and just use that natural offense that he had when he got drafted.
I actually think the third line on this team is playing a massive factor in everything.
Yeah, like they're not getting scored on, which is huge, right?
They're giving the Oilers more options and allowing them to actually play those guys when they need to. And not, that's why McDavid and Draisaitl are only playing under 2 minutes together at 5-on-5, is because that third line is able to produce. And I think that's a big thing for Nuge as well, is he doesn't have to lead the line. Like, he's not responsible for everything like he would be as a third line centerman.
Complimentary.
Yeah, he's just able to play his game. And like, yes, he was a first overall pick, but that doesn't necessarily mean he needs to go out there and be the guy who's got 100 points. Like, that's what Draisaitl and McDavid are there to do. Nuge just needs to produce next to those guys, which so many other guys in the past have failed to do, and he's able to do it because he's a great hockey player.
Jason Greger today at OilersNation.com wrote about Nuge in the Game Day blog, the GDB. He says, Ryan, Nugent Hopkins already has 13 inner slot shots. He had 23 in 63 games last year. So like Tyler said, he's not only shooting more, he's picking his spots when he's doing it. He's taking 4 times as many inner slot shots thus far. He's not only getting to the danger areas more, but he's also hitting the net a whole lot more regularly. Last year, 57.5 of his shot attempts hit the net. This season, still early, he's at 71.7. Shooting from a closer range increases the probability of hitting the net and obviously scoring more. Right now, he's doing both. When asked about his early season success, Nuge gave himself a little bit of credit. I think going back to the playoffs, I wanted to focus more on bearing down around the net and putting myself in those situations where I get good looks and opportunities. It's something I've definitely focused on a little bit more, and I think you're probably kind of seeing it. He's getting some greasy ones, right in close.
Yeah. But again, like, that's a good spot. You're right. Like, in last year, it feels like most of his goals would be when he gets the perfect chance in like the middle of the slot to fire a wrist shot home.
Yep.
And now he's going to the net, like you said, getting a little greasy sometimes even. I think that's a big part of it.
If you're listening to this right now, hit us up on Radio Podcast. I want to know where you think my boy is going to finish up. Tyler's going to put out a graphic. You'll see all of our answers again. Mm-hmm. Where do you slide in there? Hit us up, ON Radio Podcast. Next up, I want to talk a little bit about October. Do we remember what our predictions were for October? Because I don't. But they finished at 6-3.
I remember we did the 5-game thing.
Yeah, we did the 5-game thing.
And they blew us all out of the water.
I said 8 points.
I said 7 points, and they did it.
Yeah, because we both said at least four wins.
Yeah, it was four wins, and I was thinking maybe if you could sneak out an OTL or something like that, you'd be laughing. But
well, let's kind of walk through October a little bit. Like, up and down start, a little bit sloppy, a little bit greasy. Not exactly surprising. But as the month went on, the Oilers kind of started to look more like the Edmonton Oilers. Tyler, what do you think about how October started versus how it ended?
Yeah, honestly, as a whole, I think you got to be kind of thrilled with the month. Like, you look around the league and there's very few teams who are sitting there at October and being like, "Poh, nothing to complain about from month one." It's basically like the Golden Knights and the Bruins and that and the Devils. No, not even the Devils, because they started like shit. I think when you look back on it, you know, they learned some lessons, and I think that's important. There were some speed bumps, but nothing that was like overly concerning with the team. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Liam, what do you think? How it started versus how it ended?
I think that what was going wrong was kind of expected to go wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, the defense was the issue coming into the season, and it just continued to be the issue. Luckily, the offense has just been able to kind of overrule it a little bit more, and it's helped the team win games. And I guess that's kind of concerning, but we also, like I said, we knew that was going to happen anyway, so it's not overly concerning, I suppose. That makes no sense, but I'm glad to see they're actually...
Yes.
I'm glad to see they're playing Niemelainen more. Like, they're doing the 12-6 now. I think that's just a better way to approach things at the moment, rather than just, you got to get some familiarity in your lines and your deep pairings, and I think that'll help them. And now they're on a 4-game streak doing that. So, yeah, I think everything's been expected, I guess, is a better way to put it.
Rick, what do you see as the month wore on?
It kind of understood that it was going to be a bit of a slower start with the way they finished last season. I think a lot of times you see teams come into the finals and the conference finals and not exactly come out tearing it up out of the gates right off the top of the season, but I think they fixed it pretty quickly. Sometimes I thought maybe it was the team defense that was, not just the defensemen themselves, but I just didn't think that the team was playing all that well at the very beginning. Defensively, I think they've just kind of shored that up. Mm-hmm. And the offense on this team is undeniable, right? So it's been dragging along. And if they can sit there and really lock other teams out, they're going to be really, really dangerous.
Tyler?
I like the points about Niemelainen. I think that's something that they learned early on. Is like, hey, we should be giving this guy a bit more of an opportunity. Other than that, like...
How about the line changes?
He's earning it too, right? Yeah, he's not doing anything out there where you're like, okay, we have to put him out there again. It's just like, wow, no, just keep going, man. You're doing well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about the line combo changes that Woodcroft did? When was that, against Pittsburgh or the game before?
It would have been Pittsburgh when McDavid got
But they switched
hurt.
Things up.
Yeah, it's right when he got hurt.
It's the second period when they had like 28 shots or whatever.
Yeah.
26. It was, right? 26.
Since they've changed the lines, the Oilers have kind of gelled a little bit. You know, the top six, deadly. Third line, as we've said a couple of times, looking really, really nice.
I bitched about this a lot early in the season when they were coming back in all those games because they would just throw McDavid and Draisaitl together. And I said, hey, if that's going to be your duo and you think your best chance to outscore the opposition is with McDavid and Draisaitl together, run it from the start of the game. It was driving me nuts that they would practice for 3 days with certain line combinations, then go down 2-0 and be like, well, fuck, here we go. Better roll out McDavid and Draisaitl together again. And now, like, that stat, McDavid and Draisaitl have only been on the ice together for $150 in this 4-game winning streak, to me shows that maybe Woodcroft sat there and was like, hey, I got to give these guys like some time to gel, because since that moment, since McDavid left that game, went down the tunnel, and they found this current combination, Woodcroft's let him go. And I would argue that in every game since then, they've looked better and better and better and better.
But I think it's the guys with the skates on their feet that are actually looking better out there. So I think that's what's given Woodcroft the confidence to let him keep rolling. Because there was
it's chicken in the egg to an extent.
Yeah, exactly, right? But it looks like they woke up after the Connor injury. They came out in that power play and they scored when they looked like they were playing a little more on their toes rather than flat footed. And I think ever since then, they've been, obviously, they're unstoppable right now.
You could say they've been delivering.
Delivering.
Like what you'd get from our friends at DoorDash. Yes, Liam?
Ding dong.
Thank you very much. Nailed it. Tyler, what are you celebrating over there? Something foosball related, I imagine.
Yeah, it's NFL football trade deadline related.
Mm-hmm. Did Jared Goff get traded?
No, my Bills just picked up Nyheim Hines.
Is that a good trade?
He's we'll so overrated.
Oh, fuck off.
Sorry, Tyler.
Did you actually, quickly on that, I saw a thing today, like a trajectory of, what's his name again? Najee Hines?
Naheem.
Harris?
Najee Harris you're thinking of?
Wait, who did you get?
Naheem Hines.
Oh, well, I'm thinking of Harris. So I'll just talk about him quickly. He had the same trajectory as Trent Richardson.
Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails?
Oh, it's close. Mm. Former Saskatchewan Rough Rider, Trent Richardson. Mm. Yeah. So you got Naheem Hines.
Yeah.
That's very exciting.
Actually pretty good. My dad has him in fantasy. I loves really him.
Good
him,
for though. Your dad.
Yeah,
he's tremendous.
I'm okay with Cook as your number two. Cook is looking okay.
I didn't hate Cook. Anyways, we're getting off topic.
A little bit off topic. Since we were talking about October, yesterday, Halloween, how can we not talk a little costumes? You know, I always love when the Oilers do their costume party. You knew after the win in Calgary on Saturday, they had 2 days off. You knew they were going to get after it.
Well, they were coming back Saturday night.
Did they go out Saturday night? Allegedly?
No, because I think they're but they had their party on Sunday night, right? And then hit the ice again.
I did go out on Saturday night, and we'll get there in a second. It was a late one in Calgary for Tyler and myself. But back to the Halloween costumes. There's a couple that I just want to mention really quickly because they were hilarious. One, Pam and Tommy, Zach Hyman's. Very funny to me.
For the record, there were a ton of Pam and Tommy's out there this year.
Was there?
It was absolutely nuts. And obviously, I see a lot just working in the bar and whatever. But no, there were a ton. Like, did
must
either one of them
docu-series
do something
series
recently?
Or something? There was a docu-series.
There was
this year.
Documentary.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. With the guy from The Thing.
The guy with The Thing. Sebastian Bisseleon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's our dog.
Another one I want to mention, Cody Ceci, hilarious. Dressed as Miley Cyrus. His missus was dressed as the wrecking ball.
That's great.
I loved it. Obviously, you got to talk about our boy, Connor McDavid, going as Tony Montana. Classic.
That's a good one. That was a good one.
Love that. I love seeing Ryan McLeod. Who else is it we got in here? We got Warren Fogle and Dad and dressed up as the six pack of Coronas with their ladies. And then obviously winner of the internet. Well, Disco Stew also pretty good, but obviously the winner of the internet. Yes, a Pugliarvi with the girl from Finding Nemo and his missus was the fish. Like, I like looking at this guy anytime, but when he's dressed up ridiculously like this, he fucking nails it. So I love it. What do you guys think about players posting?
Pugliarvi was obviously the one that's going to get the most attention just because he played it like his big ass goofy smile with the headgear, like so good. Disco Stew I thought was really good just from like personal vibe and the costume. Mm-hmm. So those two stood out to me. Yeah,
his was almost too easy though. He has like a built-in one.
Yeah, he does.
Great mustache on the guy. Happy birthday to Stuart Skinner.
Yeah, yes. Good luck in your start. Oh, they benched him. Never mind, he's not starting tonight.
Hey, birthday. He's going to go for a big dinner now. He can relax, maybe a little tootskies on the bench.
Probably wasn't enough farting seats it up a for storm. His entire family to come. Doesn't he have like 11 brothers and sisters?
Yeah, they have a large family.
It's a big family.
Thankfully, they live here anyway. They'll just catch the next one.
Yeah, come whenever.
We'll get to that in a second when we get to the Predators preview. On Saturday, I just want to mention this. Tyler, Jay, Dan, and I rolled down to Calgary. We did something we had never done before at Greta down there, where the fine folks at ATB Financial hooked us up with 20 tickets to give away. So we had never done it before. We wanted to know how it was going to go, but ultimately weren't sure whether 6 people were going to show up or whether 50 people were going to show up. Had no idea. So we had kind of been teasing and leaking the location of, where's Tyler going? I need you for this story. Need Tyler for this story, but he's just left the room.
He doesn't care.
So we go down to Calgary. And by the way, I drove down the Alfa Romeo. Very lovely. Self-driving car. Little scary.
I was going to say, does it have voice command?
It does have voice command.
Can you set... I hope you know where I'm going with this. Can you set who talks to you?
I don't know, actually.
I wonder if you can get Valtteri Bottas.
That's a great question because...
Something to think about.
I would be passing somebody on the highway and then I would just be like... Time to Bottas. And I would just be flying through. He's my teammate. Anyway, shout out to Valtteri. But I don't know. That's a good question. It's a very lovely English lady that gives me directions.
Well,
you know?
You know, what do you need directions for?
Well, I was just playing.
Oh, I agree.
Mostly just playing.
Yeah.
Do you have something else you wanted to say? What's going on over there with
distracted.
You?
I just, Tyler's I don't know. There's a lot. Right there's now. Lights. Tyler's, I, do you know what? I know exactly what he's doing.
He's trying to keep up with the NFL trade deadline
right
now.
He's plugging in his laptop. I've seen this from the start and I didn't get a chance to say anything, but his laptop is almost dead. I can see it right in front of me.
I'm just vamping so Tyler can join in on the story when we go down to Calgary. So anyway, we get there. Tyler had already gone the night before because he went to the Arkells concert.
Ah, yes.
You're too late.
Hey now. Oh, I need to give a shout out. Rusty is the guitar tech for Arkells, and he's a big listener of our pod. Oh. So shout out
to
Rusty. We are the best, Rusty. He's got a cool Scorpion jersey. Custom Scorpion jersey he sent me.
Did you see what they did in Edmonton?
Yeah, they sang La Bamba.
Yeah, yeah.
That was amazing.
That was so cool.
That was really amazing. So we get down to Calgary. Tyler's already down there. We go do a show at the Flames Nation office. We broke in. We stole all their beer.
Now, I saw you on the computer there, Tyler. Did you like set their screensavers to some sort of Oilers stuff?
I should have.
Yeah, we should have. Changing passwords. Like,
we should have
done a lot of damage in there. I feel like you... missed an opportunity.
You think I didn't step up enough for the company?
That was my first time live producing, Tyler. I think I did great.
Yeah. So because I had to be in front of the camera, BM behind it, we kind of sat like we are right now with him off camera, but he had to push all the buttons and like hit start stream and like transition scenes. It was quite the...
There was only one minor hiccup.
Which was?
I went to transition to bring Boomer in from Flames Nation into the show live. Tyler set it up. I just didn't click down on the transition list, so I brought the intro back in really quickly, and I was like, whoa, and I popped it back out. I mean, a handful of people noticed.
Quickly on the fly. It was impressive.
That's how we do it.
The Greta experience, though, I know you were talking about that while I left the room in the middle of our show.
That's what I wanted to talk about. So
it was insane. Like, we had the people who ran up to us on the street, and like...
Well, back up a sec.
Okay.
We had 20 tickets, again. No idea how many people were going to show up. So we head down to Calgary. We had been teasing. Bless Nation Dan didn't want us to tease as much as we did, but nah, you know how it goes. We start walking towards Greta at 5 o'clock. And as we're walking towards the bar, there's probably what, Tyler, 8 guys that ran up and said, are you guys from Oilers Nation? I want the tickets. And we're like, oh my God, oh my God. It's like 20 to 5. Like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, so thankful we got into these tickets. There's about 70 people in the bar when you go in there. We're like, what? Uh-oh. So when we open the door to go into Greta, we just look around and there's Oilers fans literally everywhere waiting for this first come, first serve contest that we announced that was supposed to happen at 5 o'clock. I don't know that I've ever had an instance where I was looking around the bar. I'm like, they're just kind of following Dan and Tyler around. And like, they're just like, hey, when's 5 o'clock coming? So we pivoted
like
to
they're going to just start dropping the tickets on the floor and they want to be there to grab
them. Yeah, we're going to have to do a scramble.
Just kind of like look and like inch a little closer and then you make eye contact with someone and they'll take like a step closer. You're like, what's going on right now?
So we ended up pivoting and doing a draw instead, which was the most fair way to give away the 10 pairs is what we ended up doing. And I just want to say thank you to everybody that came down there because everybody was incredibly patient with us despite us saying it was going to be first come, first serve.
I think everyone just realized like, oh, there was no way to tell
who was first
come and who...
Because at Greta, they told us people were starting to show up at like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Like as the bar was opening, people were like, all right, I'm here for the tickets. And they were like, what?
Wait, what are you talking about?
So, I told my girlfriend's sister who lives in Calgary to go. I was like, yeah, if you want to go to the game, you should go try to get these tickets.
Did she go?
Oh yeah, they went and they were like, yeah, there is no chance we are getting these tickets because they're like, it was so busy. You could barely even find a seat to sit at. Never mind get somewhere to find the ticket. So
shout out to the staff at Greta too, because we packed that place way earlier than they were used to. Yeah. And they did a phenomenal job of making sure everybody had a drink or had something or was acknowledged. The manager came out and gave out some free gameplay cards.
Yep.
So really an amazing experience. We learned from it. We're going to upgrade how we do it next time. But ultimately, Tyler, what did you think? Like as we're leaving, probably about 7:15 to go to the Saddle Dome, the place was just rammed with Oilers.
I think what we got to do next time, my idea would be, we need to be like, hey, we're throwing a watch party.
Yeah.
And we got like 20 tickets.
And yeah. Come for the game. You may win tickets to go.
Yeah.
So we did go to the game. First, I'll give a shout out to my friends at Cornerstone Insurance, cornerstoneins.ca. Get yourself insured. All the products you need, citizens of the nation, they get a little discount, cornerstoneins.ca. So we go to the game, wandering into the Crumble Dome. And the thing that's wild about that is it's annoying. And maybe it's just because the arena is so old and once they get a new arena down the line, it'll change. But what they give to their customers at the Saddle Dome relative to what we get here, which is nothing, was pretty mind blowing. Like they had free beer samples on the concourse. They had coupons. Like we went and got free burgers.
Yeah, like with our tickets in the press level, you get a coupon for a free pop, free burger, free popcorn, and a free ice cream. All four of those.
Wow.
Four items.
Are they having trouble selling tickets? Like, what's the point behind this?
$80
Are those hot dogs going bad or something?
I don't know, but like...
It was all good.
Everything worked out. I had a burger. It was fine. Oh, you know?
I want a burger now. I'm hungry.
But like, they were also giving out free beer. They're like, hey, do you want a sample of this beer? I'm like, yeah.
Especially for a game like that, like... You don't need to give out free beer to the Balalaba.
Must be something behind that.
So I'd love to know what's behind that, but it was one of those ones where we were all kind of blown away about what you get going into the Saddle Dome, and they actually care about the people that
are watching. And the only trade-off is you might fall down the stairs and die, and there's probably a pipe blocking your view of some area of the ice.
There's a risk to everything, Tyler. Yeah.
Yes. Tyler and I were also asked to watch our language, despite the fact that we were just by ourselves talking to each other.
Me and him are like shoulder to shoulder, just looking at the arena. Mm-hmm. Haven't even gotten to our seats yet. And a security guard came up to us and was like, hey guys, I'm just going to tell you, you need to watch language. All right. You could be thrown out for profanity, even in the press level.
Was this preemptive or did they hear you say something?
I don't know.
I don't even remember either of us cursing because I was laughing because I took a photo from a corner in the ice where you can't see, there's no seats there, mind you, but you can't see anything from that corner of the concourse. There's just a big fucking pipe of some kind, and it just made me laugh. So me and Tyler were making fun of the Saddle Dome.
So this guy took offense to it,
I guess.
Yeah,
you know that was your language.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't point out don't issues with the architecture.
I have
don't
a question abusive. About the Saddle Dome. So I've never been. Thankfully,
what an experience though.
Is there a glass roof?
What?
Because sometimes when you look at it on the thing, it looks like there's windows at the top of the Saddle Dome. No.
It's like
that would be pretty.
I mean, there are windows now, all in the
maybe those are holes.
There's, I was gonna say there might be holes there may be holes in the ceiling.
I was gonna say I think by windows you mean asbestos, allegedly, in my opinion. But like, no, it's like it's kind of a padded room kind of wall is what the roof feels like. I've been high enough to touch it, so it's kind of bouncy.
Interesting.
Okay. But terrifying. The thing that's wild about the Saddle Dome is. Everybody goes in main concourse and they're like, okay, my seats are in the press level. I wonder how I get there. So you look and then you see the climb you have to do to get up there.
Yeah. It's a climb.
I was exhausted.
Mm-hmm. You have to usually stop like each level, stop, have a beer, maybe just get your breath back.
You have to get there an hour before puck drop just to get to the seats.
Oh yeah. The Sherpa gets you up there.
Yep. Sherpa gets you up there. We lost a few good men up there, you know,
it's understandable. What happens every year
happens. Tyler, any final thoughts from the weekend in Calgary? First of all, we rarely see the Oilers win at the Saddle Dome.
That was awesome. Yeah.
So that was great.
Like a real win too, because I think we were there for one.
We were there for
the year. Oh.
We were there for the one when the thing happened.
Yeah. And then because it was also the 50, it was also 50 goals for him. And it should have been 51 and tied Ovechkin for that, but he knocked down the high stick and kept it on the net.
Mm-hmm. Tyler, any final thoughts on
the Calgary Flames? It was so great. Just, we saw so many Nation fans there. Like, it's just crazy when you sit up there and like you'll go get a beer and like five people are like, oh my God, I love Oilers Nation. Or like there was one guy behind us in the line when we were getting burgers whose girlfriend or wife, his significant other was like, so-and-so like loves all of your stuff. And he was like scared to say something. And like, I love meeting all the Nation people in public. Like, it's just so cool to see how many people like listen to the pod and read the articles and do all that and travel down to Calgary to see the Oilers play. So Oilers Nation travels so well. And that's just always so impressive.
One of my favorite things about going incognito everything is watching people swarm Tyler and Jay. And I'm just like, well, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to line something else. And then later on in the night, my favorite thing was we were at Singapore Sam's, close the night down.
Oh, what a place.
It was a vibe. Mm-hmm. We are getting ready to leave. It's probably 2-ish roughly. And two guys come up to the table and they want to talk to Tyler and Jay about Evan Bouchard and the power play. So they're having an in-depth conversation. I'm literally on the other side of the table with Tyler's girlfriend, Amber. And I was like, watch this, Amber. They have no idea who I am. So I'm just going to sit here and dance. And I was just sitting there dancing, eating some horrible Chinese food, which was great in the moment. And I just love it. So
it's a spot, man.
Do they still have the rule where you have to buy something if you want to be there and dance?
I would imagine that's a good, pretty good rule, I would say.
Well, I just remember one time I went and it was just
why weren't you buying anything? What were you doing there?
Because I'm there to dance. I'm not there not there for the food. I've ate what I needed to eat. And I get then there was a rule, and this was only the second or third time I've been there, and you had to buy something that was $10. And the wonton soup was the only thing that was $10. So me and all my buddies just bought all these wonton soups and just left them on the table and nobody touched them. And I just always wonder, I was like, man, they must waste a lot of wonton soup at this place.
Well, I will say that Jay did get a wonton soup and the broth just looked like tap water.
So maybe it is.
So, you know, but again, sometimes you're just there to dance. You want to have a little boogie.
Yeah.
Or talk about Evan Bouchard in the power play with Tyler and Jay.
Whatever you're up to at that time of night.
I respect it. I respect it. So point of the story is, what an amazing weekend in Calgary. Thank you to everybody that came out to Greta to see us. Thank you to everybody that made the night a whole lot of fun, those that did win the tickets. And shout out to the Flames fan that took a little tumble down the stairs for celebrating. We've seen Coombsy do it.
Coombsy.
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I've almost done it before too. Like
it's steep, dude.
Yeah.
Like you get up to the press level and that is, yeah, it is terrifying.
I'm happy because we were row one in the press level. So like you had to look around the railing because it blocked parts of the ice. But like at least I knew I wasn't going to fall.
Row one. Wow.
Yeah.
But it was actually row five.
Yeah. That your ticket says row five, but there was no one in front of you.
Yeah. So math hard in Calgary.
Yeah.
Fair.
You know? Tonight, the Edmonton Oilers are going up against the Nashville Predators for the first time this season. I just kind of want to do a quick preview of what you... this on the web. Enough of you.
Wouldn't it be the first time since we were there for the the win on the road there last year?
It was. So just kind of what do you expect from the... I guess, Tyler, I'll start with you guys because you and Liam did Oilers Nation every day today. What are you expecting from the matchup against the Predators?
Expecting Leon Draisaitl will just absolutely shit on them.
He just steals their lunch money every game, single time.
Every game. In his last six games against the Predators, he has 13 goals and 3 assists, 3 game winners, and he's averaging over 4 shots on net per game. He
can
just
can you change his Wikipedia?
Mayor
or maybe
Nashville,
yeah, or maybe yeah, maybe do Nashville's Wikipedia, please.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Looking kills at them. In 9 games played so far, Nashville 3-5-1. They lost their last one. Liam, what are you expecting against the Preds?
I'm expecting the Oilers to probably make it 5. Like, don't they only have one win in North America? Those other two wins came in San Jose in Europe, right?
They beat San Jose back-to-back in Europe, correct?
Yeah, so they've only won one game since being back on home soil, I guess. And
jet-lagged.
Yeah, they just, I don't know what it is about them. Like, Nashville's kind of, they have a lot of talent, like, especially on the blue line with Yossi and Ekholm, but Saros obviously good, but the Oilers should win this game rather comfortably, I guess. Maybe yeah. They're overconfident, but this should be a game the Oilers shouldn't have an issue with. And I think it's a big one for Jack Campbell. I think Jack Campbell needs to have a big game. I said on every Oilers Nation every day, like, my key to the game would be Jack Campbell to have a big one. I don't think the Oilers need to rely on him to win, but I think it's just important that he finally, like, starts getting a bit of a rhythm here. And
like a 1-2 goal type of game.
Yeah.
3-4-5.
Exactly. And then we don't have to sit here on Friday being like, well, this one wasn't his fault. It's like, eventually it gets to the point where it's like, okay, this guy's just allowing three goals every single
game. To that point, though.
It's like, and I agree. Not many of them have actually been his fault.
Well, it's funny, though, because we're getting the same goaltending that we did last year with Smith.
I just don't get it. Like, I don't know how Stuart Skinner can come in here and be so strong with...
Because he's that good of a goaltender.
But he's only played like 40 games in the NHL. But that's another point. It doesn't matter. I agree. Like, but why can't Jack Campbell come in here and just kind of do the same?
It's funny, though. I mean, you look at Smith last year, and I think his save percentage was in the top 10.
Yeah.
But there were so many games where we went there, and I sat here, and I said, okay, like, yeah, we won 6-4, but there weren't any goals that you're like, oh, he's got to stop those. But at the end of the day, you're like, man, I wish they only got scored three.
Yeah,
and doing the exact same thing with Campbell right now.
I think that's kind of my thing. Is I just wish he was just a little bit better, but he's been good.
But it's the guys in front of him. So when he like drops a rebound, you got to clear that out.
Yeah,
that's breakaways one thing. Can't happen. The odd man rushes can't happen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that's one thing I wanted to know. And Tyler, this is a question for you. Are you able to find out the high chances against on Campbell compared to Skinner? I don't know if that's even possible. I don't know this stuff.
See, while you search that there, I'm going to just say, you know what? I think it comes down tonight is that the Oilers will determine what type of game it is. Mm-hmm. Whether they come out, if they come out and play like we know they can, if they come out and keep playing they have in the last four, then it shouldn't be an issue. If they come out and play lesser or you know, less than what they can, then there's an opportunity for Nashville to stay in it.
It's actually really interesting. High danger shots against per 60 at 5-on-5. 5.94 for Campbell, 8.07 for Skinner. So Skinner's facing per game or at 5-on-5, almost, well, two and a bit more per.
That's crazy.
Except it's actually, this is worth interesting too, if you're just going to look at their save percentages and compare them. All strength, so this would include the PK and shorthanded opportunities against. Skinner is 8.47 high danger shots against per 60, and Campbell is 7.39. So the gap is closer when you consider PK, but still it favors Skinner. He's had faced tougher shots.
Is it too early right now to start talking about Skinner and a certain award for young players?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
way too early.
I think it's early. But 100%. Did anyone here read Frank Saravalli's 2024 World Cup roster projection for Canada?
Was he the one?
Skinner was on the team.
Number three?
Third goalie behind Jari and Hart.
That's so funny, isn't it? He was in the ECHL like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago.
That's how goalies go, right? Like, you just never know when they're going to arrive. And, like, there is a chance Skinner just arrives.
He looked good last year in the preseason, man.
It's amazing, too. Today he turns 24.
It's funny because I don't think we have this isn't an issue, I don't think, but it's just, how is Campbell going to respond to this? I guess is the big question for me. Is like, you came in here and this was your job to be the starter, and what are we now? Nine games into the season? And you've kind of not lost it because he's playing tonight.
We'll call him even right now.
I don't even know if he's even.
Well,
right now.
I think the team looks at it as an even. Sure.
Yeah, that's fair. But like statistically, like we just said, Dan, like Skinner's winning them more games by being the better goalie. I don't know. It's interesting. I don't think this is a big issue for the team. As long as
it's a great thing.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. And as long as one goalie is doing great, then we're fine.
But we have two goalies playing
well.
Well,
yeah.
I think we've got a very good problem in net.
This is
what we're talking about.
We wanted this.
We've never had it, really.
No.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Soup getting the start on Skinner's birthday?
I think it's fine. I think it's just kind of, they're kind of rolling with it.
I don't think it's fine.
I think it's fine because Skinner's going to go over a nice meal, maybe with the family, a couple of glasses of red wine.
It's too early to be eating at 5:45.
Can you imagine? He's just on the bench. He's like crushing a beer. Like the plan was like, hey man, night off for your birthday. He's got like a fucking Bud Light in his glove and he's just crushing.
I like it. You think it's a problem though?
I think it's a weird one. It's like the Holloway thing, which we'll get to as well. Like, I just think Skinner's earned the spot tonight. Like, Tyler's been talking about it on Oilers Nation every day too. It's like, he was so good against Calgary. Like, that was a tight game and Skinner won that game.
Yep.
And why wouldn't he get another start tonight?
Like, we play on Thursday?
Dallas. Like, I just think it's weird. Like, just roll with the guy. Like, if Jack Campbell won that game on Saturday, I guarantee he would get the start today. I just think it's important to reward players when they earn it. And it's the fact. Like Skinner,
but they're going to want to keep. They're going to want to keep these two goaltenders as even in games played as possible.
That's what I
that'll
think.
Make us, that'll make us the best possible possibility going into the playoffs.
Sure, I just don't think you want to have. Sorry, Liam. I just don't think that you want to have Campbell like feeling bad about himself in his first year here, just because maybe the start didn't go as well as he wants. So you give him some extra chances. He's your guy.
And it's still you're so early. Guys are guy. Still trying to get going here. And new team, we play Devils on Thursday and Dallas on Saturday.
Okay. But I don't know. I just think that's weird. Like, I guess maybe they do see Skinner as a star. And like, okay, we have a tougher matchup on Thursday.
And next week, we have a bit of week next week.
Because next week's
the gauntlet, right?
Yeah, it's Wash, Tampa.
Some better teams.
Yeah.
So both guys are going to get their starts over the next 10 days. We'll see what happens.
I just think I don't know. I think he deserved it. And I think that's my only argument.
And I agree with that argument too. I think, you know, when you play as well as he did, when you kind of win your team the game, like he has almost every time he started, you deserve another shot. And the only counter argument is what I think, I forget which one you just said it, but it's a tougher matchup Thursday. New Jersey's a better offense. Yeah. Nashville has they've really struggled to score since they came back to North America. And I think maybe they're sitting here going, okay, this chance to get Campbell going. It's all good. Stu's going to start Thursday no matter what. And then we'll see what happens.
And wasn't
Saturday.
The Calgary game a bit of a awkward one as well? Because everyone's like, oh, no, you should go back to Soup right now. And then they came over. Go back to Soup because you're number one. At least that's the stuff I was hearing on the radio.
But I just don't like the argument that like you got to go back to Campbell because you paid him $5 million.
No,
like,
it's not. Yeah, I just don't like that.
I don't like that one either because he's not like we're paying him $12 million to be the goalie on this.
$5 million is not insane.
$5 million is like average goaltender gets paid in the NHL is $5 million.
But like. You've got to also account for the human element of it, where new team, new system, new thing. Sure. You need to get him going because he's here for 5 years.
Yeah, I agree.
Skinner's going to be here for 5 years, hopefully, too, though.
That's the thing. Skinner's quickly. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a. I just don't. I think he earned that spot.
But also, it's just so early in the season. They're still trying to get him going. By the time we get to, you know, maybe December. Then I think you'll start seeing that stuff. But it's with the way the team is playing right now, with the way the record looks right now, it's given us the opportunity to let both goaltenders get their feet underneath them. And if that means that, you know, you got to play Soup when you think that Skinner can go, it is what it is
also
for
like,
right now. But like I said, come December, that may start changing. If you start dropping in the standings, that may start changing. But for right now, I think it's just an opportunity we have to allow both goalers to do their thing.
Jack Campbell won 3 of his last 4. And the game that he lost was against St. Louis when the team in front of him didn't score. So he's still getting results.
And he only let up one.
He let up one, the other one was an empty net.
What was his start last one was Chicago, right?
Yep.
When he allowed, what was that, 6-5?
Yep.
And what was it before that?
Before that was Pittsburgh, where he finished with a 9-14. Before that, St. Louis with a 9-52.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's a tough debate because I don't think either of them are losing the spot when they go and play. Mm-hmm. But again, I just think you should be rewarded.
And that's the old traditional way of thinking about it. Yeah. That's probably where you're coming from.
Okay, looking ahead. Quick score prediction against Nashville. Tyler?
I'll say the Oilers win this one by a score of 5-2.
God damn it.
I'll say 6-2.
Rick?
5-1.
4-2 for me. I just want to run through a couple of bets for you guys that I put down today for our friends at Betway. Risky business is up. I just want a couple of just your thoughts.
Yep.
We all like to dabble a little bit. Betway's got all kinds of options here. So here's one for that I've been hitting a lot lately, and I just, the odds are dropping, and it makes me sad. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins over 2.5 at +110, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean,
that's today right now?
Yep.
We were jumping on that when it was +125 for a couple of games there, but he's hit it now in 3 in a row. He's hit it in 4 of the 9 games so far this season. But the interesting note as well in that is since they moved him to the wing full time against St. Louis, Chicago, and Calgary, those are the 3 games he's hit it in a row. And in 4 of his missed games this year, he's only missed it by 1 shot. So I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
What do you feel about this one, Liam? Leon Draisaitl to score 2+ goals at +600.
Well, they clearly don't know who the mayor of Smashville is.
They do not.
So thanks, Betway, for the free money. Hit it. Hit it all day. What's 3? What's a hat trick?
Oh, you know what? I actually didn't look at that. I'll pull up Betway here and have a look.
Whatever it is, hit that too. Tyler, how can you not? Like, he's just literally, was it?
I think the two goals for plus 600.
Oh,
that's worth. So I put a full unit on that. I'm not even going half a unit on that one.
Woo-wee. So on this one, just because I make it simple, I put for these articles, I just put $5. That's my unit for these. So that turns into $35 if he gets two plus.
Spicy.
Yeah, I'll do that one. I'm with you. I'm doing that's the risky 50 and business. $350
for the record.
What else?
Help me.
You guys got any bets?
I just did Oilers regulation, which is like -112. Which I just think
-112.
Yeah, I think just
in reg, keep, that's decent.
Keep it within your fives, you know.
Yeah, but we have our goal. Oh no, I guess it's not.
I think when you see Saros is in the other net, like he can steal a game, which is probably why. I guess it's
was 4-0 in Nash last time we played them.
I'm tempted to go with Bouchard's shot prop tonight +120. I think. I'm just looking here. Here is last game's over 2.5. Two shots. 6-3. Those are his last five games.
I think he's starting to realize he's got to get the puck on net. And he's getting. And if I've noticed there in the last couple of games is that second power play line is coming out there at like the 1 minute mark. They're getting a lot more opportunities as opposed to the 30 seconds when the puck's been dumped to the other end. By the time you get there and come back, you know, you're down to 12 and you're going back to a 5-on-5 line.
Last one I want to hit you guys with is total shots on goal, 62.5.
Yes.
That is at -110.
62.5. Yeah, the Oilers have been shooting the puck.
Total shots on goal? Cool. Mm-hmm. I kind of just like, I think Betway has the Oilers over 35 shots on net.
I'd be looking at the Edmonton one as opposed to the duel.
What about power play goal and empty net?
You do like that? That's your pre-built one there. Because you hit that a little while ago, didn't you?
I've hit it twice on Oilers Nation.
There you go. Power play goal and an empty net in the match.
+250, right?
+250.
It hits. It obviously didn't hit last game, and then the one before that, it didn't. So he's missed in the last two. But before that, it was like 5 of 7. Like, it was hitting so often. Even that St. Louis game where it was 2-0, power play goal, empty net goal. Perfect.
Shout out to our friends.
It's not just an Edmonton one.
Oh, no. It's anyone.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not just Edmonton.
Shout out to our friends at Betway, of course. Another couple of things as we work our way through some news. Philip Broberg played his first game with the Condors at just under 30 minutes. And Liam, you want to talk about Broberg coming back playing that much and how it relates to Dylan Holloway?
Yeah, so I think everyone was a little disappointed to see Broberg not make the team this year, especially when Ken Holland spoke about it. Like, he made it seem like Broberg basically had to lose his spot to not be on this team.
To be fair, he was injured. Yeah. So it's not like he's played. That was his first game was the other day, right? Yeah. So the rest of them could have been because of injury.
Yeah, and I guess the way to word it would be he didn't necessarily lose his job because of his performance, but I don't think it helped him in a way too.
And we just don't know how significant the injury was.
Yeah, so comes back, plays 30 minutes, didn't get any points, so I think finished actually -1 on the night. But when you're playing like half the game, that's probably expected. So my point is like, when is Dylan Holloway going to go down? Like, I think at the moment, what is he gaining by playing 7 minutes a night? It feels like he's lost a lot of his mojo at the moment. And I think obviously like he had everything like since the season started, like the rookie camp, all we heard about was how good Holloway was and how
ready
he was.
Won the Tyratty Award.
Yeah. Like he was unreal in preseason. And then regular season hits, he makes that pass to the Vancouver guy, then they score, and then he gets absolutely rocked. It just feels like his rhythm has really been thrown off.
He
just
hasn't had an opportunity to find his step.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
A part of that reason is because all three guys in that third line are playing so well, you're not bumping them back to put them in that spot, give them that opportunity.
Exactly.
But I am on board with you about saying, hey, maybe send them down for a couple of games or something like that and just get them some ice time, get them some confidence back.
And that's the thing. I think right now the Oilers have a bigger issue in Kyle Yamamoto, where Yamamoto needs to find his footing. And I would rather...
He does this, though.
100%. He's very streaky. But I would rather the Oilers stuck with having Yamamoto as that streaky player where it's like, okay, this guy's going to play in our top six and we're just going to keep giving him the minutes to keep re-rolling
and he'll eventually get it.
And then just put Brad Malone on the fourth line and then or whoever and then just let Holloway just sit in Bakersfield, play that 20 plus minutes a night or whatever they want to do and play everything. Let him get his mojo back. Like, let him actually get the flow back in his game And then maybe in, I don't know, after
whenever, if whenever dips, it is. Like, maybe, yeah. Maybe he plays the whole year down there.
Exactly.
But you know what wouldn't be that bad is that he goes down there and starts playing well and finding chemistry with someone else who's just having his first couple of games down there and scored two shorties and a power play as, you know, our next best thing, right-handed shot, because Borgo is playing really well down there right now.
Yeah, he is. And then you even have guys like James Hamlin, too. Like, I feel like that spot on the fourth line just doesn't need to be dedicated to him. Like, why not just rotate guys through? Like, and I get the whole cap thing, like, isn't helping anybody at the moment in this organization, but, like, Janmark, like, let's see what we've got. Like, we signed him for a reason. He may as well play a couple of games. Let's see. I'm sure he will. Like, Malone, Benson, when he eventually comes back from injury, it just feels like there's a lot of guys who can just do exactly what Holloway's doing.
Because Holloway's going to be better than Holloway. Right? He's not getting any hard play and he's not getting any PK, and right?
So
he's
to just be honest, sitting, he doesn't deserve it. And it's not.
Well, if you were trying to teach him PK time, then you maybe put him out there, but they're not, obviously but like, not doing
that. I think you do that in Bakersfield. That's we were watching, the point of it, as we were watching the game on Saturday in Calgary, you can tell the kid's got all kinds of wheels. Yep. He's got all kinds of skill, but like, I'm 100% with Liam in the fact that sometimes it's good to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond and go down and play the minutes that he's not getting here.
It's because real nice to get those points, those stats.
It's real nice to get those, get him feeling good about his game again. Maybe
get a little tan on him too out there.
Oh, nice bronze, a little vitamin D. Come on.
There was a thing, I can't remember exactly what it was, but I wrote about it last year when I wrote about Borgo. There was only one first round pick in Ken Holland's tenure in Detroit who played like a full 82 games within his first two seasons.
The Dylan Larkin?
And it was Dylan Larkin. He was the only player and however long he was there. And like, there was a bunch of years, obviously they didn't have a first round pick, but either way, like, the Ken Holland knows how to work these guys in. And like, we saw it with Yamamoto too. Like, when he was up and down these first couple of seasons as well. And then he got in that groove. What do you have? Like 27 points in 25 or something like that.
It's been up and down like a toilet seat, really.
Yeah, that's what he should be, up and down like a toilet seat. And yeah, I just, Holloway, there's no shame in going to Bakersfield. There's nothing bad about going there. It's about what's best for this team in the future.
And for him in the future.
And for him. But from a team perspective, like, Holloway is going to help the Oilers down the line potentially win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. I don't, right now, he's not helping, it's not helping anyone. Him playing literally 7 minutes and just sitting there. Like, this experience obviously gained from being at practice with these guys and getting messages.
That was the thing about Bouchard when they didn't send him down.
Yeah, but it's just like, what are we waiting for here? Like, we can be patient with these guys now, and it's, I don't know, it just doesn't feel necessary. He can go down to Bakersfield and be the guy.
If this was March, April, round one of the playoffs, and you were like, hey, Holloway on our fourth line is like a fraction or like 5% better than Malone or Hamblin or whoever else you put there, then you do it.
Yep.
But right now, like, it's just, it's not going to cost you games or anything like that. I think you can have a Hamblin or a Malone there and be like, hey, you know what? Dylan Holloway, if he goes down, he's going to come back better. Like, sending him down now might actually make you better later in the year because 100%. He may be a more polished professional.
Yep, 100%. He's going to play all situations down in Bakersfield. They can have him on the power play. They can have him at even strength, PK, whatever they want. That's not going
to
happen.
A couple of those guys who are going to be parts of this team coming up in the next couple of years get to be down there and get to play together. And you kind of get that same connection you see out of Bush and you see out of Yam, you see out of Clowder.
Yep. 100%.
Well, when Tampa was coming through, like, all those guys played in Syracuse together. All those guys. Kucherov, Vasilevsky, like, all of them.
Wasn't John Cooper their coach, too?
Yeah, and they won.
So it's the exact same spot.
It's exactly the same. And it's just, I obviously, I'm sure this is being debated in the better offices. And I think he goes down this weekend. I think after New Jersey, I think we'll see him go down and play in Bakersfield.
After the Devils on Saturday?
Maybe after the...
When we fly out east, he flies out west?
I think that's what it'll be.
Yeah. My thing too, this is what I said on Oilers Nation every day, was the dominoes I could maybe see falling. If Yamamoto has another bad game and doesn't get on the score sheet, doesn't start really buzzing, maybe you give Holloway one more look in the top six and Yamo plays on the fourth line for the rest of the homestand.
I think another thing too is with Holloway is that you don't want to make him feel like this is his last stand every single game.
I think they're probably handling that pretty well. And so, I think they probably keep him for the East and keep him next week because the week after we are in LA. And if by then you just kind of like see, drop him off.
What's the timeline on Benson? Maybe that's what's dictating this whole thing is when's Benson.
He just started skating again recently, didn't he?
Did he? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's when Benson's healthy. Maybe that's when Holloway.
But you can't have Holloway be a placeholder for a guy. No. Like at that point, I think if it is Benson, I think it almost lends more to what you talked about of like
bring Malone up. Yeah. That's exactly what that guy is on the roster. He's a dude who can come up, he can contribute. He's not going to be upset if he's not playing. You know what you're going to get if he does play. Mm-hmm. Just like you know what you're going to get from our friends at Twig and Berries when you go to twigandberries.ca. A whole lot of fashion. Whole lot of feeling better about yourself. Use promo code NATION15. You get a little discount on your order. If you're out in St. Albert, check them out in store. You might see Tyler there trying on some new nutsack undies. He'll do a little fashion show for you. It'd be real nice. Twigandberries.ca. What else I want to talk about? I want to talk about, real quick, McDavid first star of the month. 9 goals already. The guy is like...
He's shooting
and his shot is electric and goalies are having a hard time with it. And if he's not shooting, he's going to dangle you into the ground.
Dude, the more he shoots, the more it's going to open up his pass.
2000%.
Guys are going to think they got to square up to block the shot.
They're going to have defensemen going down. Goaltender's going to be overcommitting and he's going to dump it off to his right. And Leon's going to be able to score right-handed with his eyes closed.
How do you think Markstrom fell after that goal?
Let me tell you something.
I saw it and I was like, that is so funny because everyone's like, he's playing so good. And then all of a sudden he just lets that in. He's like, that must have been extremely demoralizing.
One of my favorite parts from Saturday night watching the game at the Saddle Dome is when that goal went in, because the audible groan in the building was outstanding. It was just kind of like, oh, because it was bad. Like I was just where we were sitting. I was just like, that one looks like a rough one. But like until I actually saw the replay the next day, I was like, oh boy. Oh boy.
It really, really made me laugh.
Boy. Oh boy. Yeah, that is between the ears of Markstrom.
I just like bursting into laughter when he scored goals. Like,
how's he looking
man.
This year amongst the rest of the league? Because obviously he's got his little Edmonton thing, but
he's had moments.
Moments of good or moments of bad?
I think both, but maybe a bit more bad. I think
so. Was last year a bit of an anomaly? Was last year
like 9 shutouts in the first half of the season?
Yeah,
he's got a 2.60.903 if you including the game against Edmonton. He had a bad game against Buffalo. Every game else he's been solid.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's just amazing how the Oilers are just rent free in that dude's head. Like sometimes that happens where you just kind of own a team. Like we talked about Leon Draisaitl with the Nashville Predators. Markstrom can just not put it together against the Oilers, and it is fantastic.
Okay, make the call right now. If everyone's healthy, they're goaltenders. Who plays goal on the 27th of December?
When I almost think you have to go back to Markstrom because these two teams, they're on a collision course for the playoffs. And like, can you imagine if you go Vladar on the 27th, and then it's game one of a BOA playoff series, and the story, Markstrom's going to be asked about it. Like,
that's all that's going to be put in papers and stuff.
Yeah, it's just he can't play against the Oilers. That also scares the shit out of me because of the revenge angle of like him finally figuring out in the playoffs. That would be like something.
Yeah, how do you get revenge against 29 and 97 though?
Yeah.
And we have yet to see it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's a lot more history that shows he sucks the hind banana, as a former coach once said.
Don't bring bananas into this.
Yeah, come on. Liam.
I know that was a low blow. I want to give a shout out to a date that Tyler and I will be having on December 10th. When we will be going to experience a world-class mashup of snowboarding and style right here in Edmonton at Commonwealth Stadium. The Big Air Contest presented by Toyota and Explorer Edmonton. I'm excited about this, Tyler. It's going to be fun.
Yes.
Although it may dump a lot of snow over the next 48 hours. In my brain, I was thinking it was still going to be 10 degrees when we go to Commonwealth on December 10th. Mm-hmm. You know?
Good thing the Alfa Romeo has remote start.
Remote start, heated seats, heated steering wheel.
Are you laughing?
You'll be driving and I'll be holding the steering wheel.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Teamwork. Teamwork makes a dream work. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Again, December 10th at Commonwealth Stadium. Brought to you by Toyota and Explorer Edmonton. It's going to be cool. I think it's going to be awesome. Go check out the seating chart. They're starting in the stands, it looks like. I'm excited about it.
Remember the crash ice thing that came to Edmonton?
Yeah, yes. We covered it.
Oh, that was awesome.
We covered it a couple of different
times. Cool.
Didn't someone like almost promise us that we were going to get to go down the track though?
No, what happened was we were able to go down the track and Chris, the former intern, he had a little poo belly day of and he could not make it down the track.
He didn't even go to the thing, did he?
He did not even go to the thing. But we had scheduled Chris, the intern, to go down that track.
God, that would be unreal. That'd be very interesting.
You think it was legit? You think a little, was that nerves?
I bet he had poo belly, but I think it was the nerves that caused it. Because I remember covering that one and I was standing at the top of the ramp looking down and I'm like, fuck man, I'm a good skater and this is intimidating as hell.
Would you not want to go down with your stick?
So yeah, there's just a balance, little just bit a little extra, extra balance,
a little bit extra.
Or a little 100%. Frame, a little skating frame.
Yeah, that's what yeah, I maybe do. A chair. A
chair.
Yeah. I'll just walk down next to the side of it.
Or like sometimes downtown, you see those ladies cruising with the walking sticks.
Oh yeah.
A little extra balance, a little extra speed.
A lot of options.
Mm-hmm. I also want to talk about something that came up at dailyfaceoff.com yesterday. Power rankings. Tyler, what's
you making face? I was going to get to that in word association.
Oh, okay. We can do word association then.
Yay.
How's that? For our friends at Canada Snowboard, Tyler's got some word association going.
Yep.
Tuesday episode. Still working out the kinks.
Yeah, we'll get there. It's a long year.
What do you got for us today?
Tuesdays.
All right. Word association. I got six questions for you guys. Mm. One word answers. You know how it works. Oh. We are going to go Rick, Liam, Bagged Milk, then me.
Oh, shit.
All right. Yeah, Rick, you need to be...
Last time I was last. I was loving it.
Yeah, you got time to think.
How do I say meh?
How many times you
meh forever, mid?
All right, word association time. The first one. One word answers. McDavid's goal versus Jacob Markstrom.
Laughable.
LMFAO.
Ugly.
Meh. The Saddle Dome.
Terrible.
LMFAO.
I'll say crumbly. The Oilers penalty kill.
Improving.
I don't want to use the same one again. work.
Scary.
Understandable.
Why do you say that? Yeah. Before you move on.
I just think they got a lot of new guys in the mix there, and there's just a learning curve, but I'm not worried about it. Like, that's they're fair. Improving. They're going to get better. Leon Draisaitl versus the Nashville Predators.
He's a hot guy!
Owner.
Mayor.
Dominant.
Daddy.
What?!
The Oilers being 14th in Daily Faceoff's latest power rankings.
Embarrassing.
LMFAO.
Ridiculous.
Fireable.
Ooh.
Should I pull the trigger?
Call him on the show.
Right, last one I got for you guys. There's actually six. Best Halloween candy.
Rockets.
Really?
He said candy, not chocolate, so I went candy.
Swedish fish.
Oh, that's a really good one. Sour dinosaurs.
Sour Skittles. I think we all gave two words there except for Rick, but that is okay. That is going to do it for Word Association, the segment that will just keep getting better every week.
I mean, it can't get worse.
Nope.
It can't get worse. Mm-hmm. I respect it.
Yep.
Also, if you want to offer up some suggestions for Word Association, slide into Tyler's DMs.
Why not?
This is a Tuesday thing. We're workshopping. And that wraps up kind of where we had our list of topics for today. Any final thoughts heading into tonight's game against the Nashville, or just what looks like a very hectic schedule coming up? Let me just run through it for you quick.
Yep.
Because we've got some big games coming up tonight. Nashville. I feel good about that one.
Trip last year.
That's a good question.
Nashville. I feel good about it. Thursday, New Jersey. New Jersey, sneaky good.
Number one on the power rankings.
Really?
Come on.
Yes. You guys got to check his power rankings out. It's crazy.
Saturday.
Is this a Halloween joke or something?
It is spooky season.
April Fools came early.
Saturday, we got Dallas. Another 2 p.m. start on a Saturday at home. What is that?
Don't get it.
I don't get it either. Is it Hockey Day in Canada or something?
No, I think we've done this Dallas at 2 o'clock on a Saturday more than once. I've actually gone to a game against Dallas on a Saturday.
Like, what is that, though?
What time zone are they?
They're central, so they're an hour ahead, I believe.
So that would be an hour ahead. So it's not even like it's a good time for them.
It's an American thing, though, right?
They love their daytime sports.
They don't like to have a lot of things on television on Saturdays because they want to just let the people go out and do their stuff. The Sundays they own college football on Saturdays, right? You kind of play. Even the NBA doesn't have a lot of Saturday night games.
You asked how the Oilers did on that road trip. Last year, they played Washington as a standalone, beat them 5-3. And then at the end of February, they rolled through Tampa, Florida, Carolina, and went 2-1.
Yeah.
You remember when they went to Nashville and there was that tornado?
I do remember. I remember
they flew out just in time.
Next week, though, is a murderer's row, as kind of got mentioned earlier. Yeah. Monday, Tuesday is Washington, Tampa, back to back. Thursday, Carolina. Another 2 o'clock start next Saturday in Florida.
We always play Florida early-ish, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still a weird time, though.
It's 4 o'clock for them. It's even weirder.
Yeah. So it is a weird one.
Sorry, what was it? Washington, Tampa,
yep.
Carolina,
Florida. And then they've got 3 days off, come home against LA and Vegas.
Interesting.
That's so got eight possible points. What are you thinking?
Well, let's start with this homestand. We've got three games. We've got Nashville, New Jersey, Dallas. Liam, what do you got? Six possible points.
Honestly, I'll go with six. I think that all three of those games are very winnable for the Oilers. I think the week after is when the shit could hit the fan.
Tyler?
I want to say six so bad. I'll say four. I don't think they can win seven in a row. That seems like a lot to ask, so I'll say four.
I'm going to say five. This week just looks... there's an OTL in here somewhere. Rick?
Yeah, I'll stick with five.
Well, they're just so good in OT. I always have a tough time being like, they might lose one in OT.
But other teams play them. They try and win that puck, and then they sit there and they cycle in their own end, and then Connor goes, okay, I'm going off. Leon goes off, and they're like, okay, now we can attack.
Now we're going to
try. However, we have a lot more outside of that that three now.
Yep, that's fair.
There you go.
All right.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
For our friends at Oodle Noodle, DoorDash, Betway.
FIS Snowboard Bigger World Cup presented by Toyota.
Cornerstone Insurance and Twig and Berries.
Woo!
Man, you really rattled that off. Good for you.
Yep.
Didn't read it or nothing.
That's Oilers Nation Radio for a Tuesday episode. We will chat to you on Friday. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right, because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.